preacher. Well, it's a blessing to be here tonight, isn't it? Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs tonight, chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs. While you're turning, I want to say that I'm just really, really, really thrilled to be here. And I tell you, you folks have got to be on shouting ground for the Lord giving you this beautiful building. This is beautiful. I don't know how much you've done to it, but this was already here. What about that? Isn't that amazing? Well, I tell you something. God looked down and smiled on you folks. Don't take that for granted. God's blessed y'all with a building. And that's great. That's great. A lot of churches. I know churches have been going for years and years and don't have nice facilities like this. So the Lord's been good to you folks. You must have got his attention, and he looked down and smiled on you and gave you this beautiful, beautiful building. I'm telling you, we're in the process of trying to build or buy or both, and it's just unbelievable. I talked to a man about a building, a metal building like this, the structure of this building, and he said steel, just like them steel beams right there, have doubled in cost just in 3 years, the last 3 years. So it'd be triple what it was 10 years ago. Concrete, $100 a yard, starting this weekend. And it's just unbelievable. So the Lord's blessed y'all with a very, very nice facility. And we ought to just praise God for it. Really, really, you should. You ought to just be on shouting ground. I mean, a balcony. You are uptown. Yeah, I know, I kind of miss Elvis. No drinking. Signs are gone, but you need a sign or two on the wall. But honestly, this is beautiful. It's been a while since I preached in a big shot church with a balcony. With a balcony, I'm telling you. I feel unworthy for coming here tonight. But I enjoyed being here, and I have been looking forward to staying all week, and I believe the Lord's going to do something. Got a lot of folks coming from different churches. They promised me throughout the week, some from over at Bright Light, some up here in Mooresville, different places. And so I want to encourage you to be here every night. Don't let the devil cheat you out of being here one night. Push. Kids, ain't no homework. Parents, no homework is more important than this revival this week. Ain't that right? And you tell them at school that I said that, and we'll sue them if they disagree with you. That's right. Tell them I said that. I ain't ashamed of that. I believe that. I believe God's house and God's work and revival is more important than homework. Don't you? Amen. I believe that. I believe a ball game is more important than homework sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. I believe the Lord's work is come first. And I love Brother Chris. Thank God for his vision, his burden, and what he's doing here. And so now I'm going to be telling you about some special things throughout the week. I'm praying about, I even asked him about it, but I'm praying about doing something for these young people maybe about Thursday night, maybe gearing toward the youth. And if all you kids will go bring all your friends, maybe we could do something like that Thursday night or maybe Friday night. We'll talk about that, but we'll announce that tomorrow night. What I want to do tonight is look in Proverbs chapter 6. And tonight, I want to preach a sermon the Lord gave me a long time ago on the ant. Ant. A-N-T. Ant. And I know that if you're from up north, you don't pronounce it like that, but I could try my best to say it right the whole service, and it wouldn't work, so I'm just going to say it like I say it. Ant. A-N-T. It's pronounced the same as your mother's sister. It's spelled different. That's spelled A-U-N-T, but it's pronounced ain't. And this is spelled A-N-T, and it's pronounced ain't. But it's a little bitty thing that crawls around. There might be one in here tonight crawling around on the floor. Sometimes they're black. Sometimes they're red, orange looking. And little bitty, sometimes little, it's called little pea ants. And then there's big old, and then there's them big ugly ones, them big fire ants. But they're ants. That's what I want to preach about tonight. How many of you ever saw an ant? Raise your hand. Okay. You know what an ant is. One might be crawling up your britches leg right now while we speak. Them busy little things. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. When I first got saved, I started reading the Bible. And one day I remember I'd been saved about a year. And I said, I'm going to read Proverbs. And I said, I'm going to do everything it says. Everything it says to do, I'm going to do it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. So whatever it said to do, love your neighbor, whatever, I said, I'm going to do it, whatever it said. And I came to this scripture, look at 6:6, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. That's a big old lazy, something like a big snail. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, these are the ants, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Well, I read that scripture, and it said that we're supposed to go to the ant and consider her ways. And I thought, well, I ain't never done that. I claim to be living right, and I ain't even doing what the Bible says to do. Go to the ant. So I went to the ant. I went home, and I went out in the yard and started going to the ant, looking for some. And I walked around in my driveway, and I looked. Sure enough, it wasn't long. So I looked down there, went some across the yard. And I began to watch them. And I was looking down on them, and there's a long line of them just lined up, going around this way, and they went around a tree, and over across the yard, and started going up in the woods. And there's a line of them going, looked like interstate. There's a line of them going that way, and a line of them coming back this way. And it was just pretty as you please, all lined up going up through there. And I said, where are them things going? And I walked around, and it's going down in a hole, and they had a little ant hill there that they piled up. You saw an ant hill in your yard. It's a pretty little stack of grains of sand, just as neat and clean. I mean, a perfect little stack. How'd they get them to look like that? I mean, there's thousands and thousands of grains of sand on those little bitty ant hills. And them little things, they was just working like crazy to get that ant hill built. And so I want to preach on that tonight, answers from the ants. So after I watched them things for a little bit, I went and got an encyclopedia. And I looked up in the encyclopedia. I got the A, you know, it's real easy to find. And I got opened it up there, and there they was. I mean, about 3 pages on ants. And I read what it said about them things, and I'm telling you, Brother Chris, I have never looked at an ant the same since. And I want to give you tonight what God gave me. When the Spirit of God said, go to the ant, He meant there was a reason for us to do it. I want to say tonight, this is Tabernacle Baptist Church. This is in type tonight of an ant hill. And all of you are the little working ants. And me, and the pastor, and all of it. And we are building this little ant hill here for the glory of God. And I believe the Lord would like to look down and see it just pile up and pile up and pile up. Don't you? And I know that you would too. So let's think about that. I read that ants are very much like us. They're like people. They live together in cities. They are social insects. They are the only other creature besides man that has organized warfare and soldiers. Here, the Bible and God puts the ant in front of the sluggard to teach him a lesson. And they have engineers, they have slaveholders, stock keepers, and construction workers, all without a boss, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the... And boy, that's the thing. These little old things, they work their legs off, and they don't even have an overseer. Now, an overseer is what we'd call a boss man. Overseer is what we would refer to as the pastor. They don't even have a pastor preaching to them, and they get the job done anyway. You know, I've been to a lot of churches. I was in one the other day, and they said, Brother Danny, please pray that God will send us a pastor. We don't have a pastor. Pray that God will send us a pastor. And you know what? I don't know why they want one. They ain't going to do what he says. Why do churches even have a pastor? Really, I mean, what's it? They can save a lot of money by just go ahead and do it like they're doing. Let one of the deacons get up and talk on Sunday. They're not going to do what the preacher said. I mean, he can preach his head off, and they're just going to sit there and say, that's very good, preacher. I enjoyed that. And not change one thing. Am I telling the truth? Really? Come on now. Don't act religious on me tonight. You know good and well that the average person has absolutely no intentions at all of doing what the preacher said. None. I mean, they look at me like, if you can preach a good sermon and entertain me for a few minutes, great. But if you think that I'm going to change anything in my life, you are smoking crack, preacher. I mean, you don't know what you're talking about. And they have, but these ants, they don't have an overseer. They don't have a guide. and they get the job done anyway. That's impressive. And so, all without a boss, they busy. It's one of the busiest places in the world is an anthill. There's always something going on. That's one of the biggest compliments this community could pay to this church. Every time I drive by here, they'll say, man, them people's always doing something. They're out there planting flowers or out there putting up signs. Them people there, that's like an ant. You don't ever go by an ant hill and see grass growing up in the ant hill. I'm telling you, brother, they're busy. They're doing something. I'm going to tell you tonight, let me show you how God can make a great church right here on the side of this Highway 16 in Denver, North Carolina. I told somebody I was going to Denver. They thought I was going to Colorado. I said, no, it's the wrong Denver. But you know how God, wouldn't you like to see God build a big church here and y'all buy this whole place and have to build a big auditorium out here and hundreds of people getting saved? Would you like that? Nod your head. Okay, I'm going to tell you how you can do it. God don't like somebody down the road barely likes you. God don't like that church over there more than he likes you. It's going to be up to you to get together and say, by the grace of God, we're going to roll up our sleeves and, brother, spit on our hand and get the job done that God has given us to do here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. Amen. It ain't just going to drop in your lap. It's going to happen. Amen. Because of our work. I'm telling you, the smallest need is greater better than the greatest intention. You meet people everywhere, they intend to do it. Well, I'm going to do it. You know something, preacher? I'm going to get in there one of these days, and I'm going to do something for God. No, you ain't going to do it today. You probably won't do it tomorrow. It's one of the busiest places in the world. I want to say four things about these ants tonight, and I want to say, first of all, they each... Got that in you? Each work according to their own ability. They each work according to their own ability. Every single ant works. I've never seen one that didn't, unless he did. I have never seen an ant that didn't work. I watched them things for a long time. And I watched them, and you know what they'd do? They'd walk over here like this right here, over here in the driveway, and they'd pick up something bigger than that piano. According to the size of their body. Matter of fact, them things are so strong that if you could relate their strength to our strength, I would be able to pick up a train car, a locomotive car, on a train track. That's how strong them little buggers are. And they look like this, and they go, ooh, and pick up this big old grain like that, and they'll turn right around and go over here like this where the pile is and throw it on the pile. They'll turn around, and they'll go back like this right here, pick up another grain of sand, ooh, and they'll turn right around like this and throw it on a pile. They do that all day long. And they'll come over here like this, and their buddies is right behind them, big old lines of them. I mean, they're over here like this, putting it like this. And boy, I'm telling you, that's why one day there ain't nothing there. And you go back in a day or two, and Lord have mercy, where'd that come from? Big old pretty anthill, just as pretty as you please. Have you ever seen that? I mean, that don't just happen. And it ain't just two or three of them doing that. Some people think, well, it's the pastor's job to go out and get people. That's why there's three grains of sand on the hill. I mean, he can't do it all by himself. You're a brother. You know how it is. Here's the average church. Here's the average church. They go over here and stick up a sign that says, "Welcome, Trinity Baptist Ant Hill. All grains welcome." And then they just sit down and say, "The Lord will send them in whenever he gets ready. We're praying for you, grains. God, send them grains of sand in. God, oh sovereign God." And the Lord saying, "You lazy, sorry, good for nothing thing. Get over there and get them and throw them on the pile." Now listen, there's not a person in here tonight. Y'all listen to me. There is not a person in here tonight, if you meant business and tried hard enough, that couldn't walk through that door this week with somebody beside you. Don't you tell me that you can't get somebody. I don't believe it. You can. You know somebody that you can get to church. Amen. Amen. That's right. And boy, these little thing, they just come over here. They grab one there. Here's where the average church is. You got three ants down here working. And they're running their legs off, bless their heart, working all day. And you got 150 up here on the side of a hill, sitting here with sunglasses on in their lawn chairs watching them three. As a matter of fact, they're not just watching. They're complaining about how they're doing the work.
They're saying, I just don't agree with the way he got that saying over there. And I don't like the way he walks either. And I'll tell you one thing. Why is she always up there doing something? And just running their mouth. And they're like, same old ones do everything in our church. Like that one preacher said. He said, my church is 100% willing. He said, 5% willing to do the work and 95% willing to let them. And that's the way it is. That's sad. That's true. Amen. I mean, get up, people. Let's get up and get out of here. And you know why a lot of people don't like to hear me preach? Because I put pressure on you.
Amen.
And I'm going to put pressure on you tonight.
Amen.
I'm going to put pressure on you to the point where some of you are going to leave and you're going to say, well, he's all right, but some of the things he said, I just disagreed with. And the reason why is because God's getting you, buddy. Right? The Lord's getting you a little bit, and you're feeling guilty, and that's the way you get rid of that guilt, is saying you don't like me. Right, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to dump it in your lap, whether you do anything about it or not. That's when you and God, you'll answer at the judgment day one day for me trying to get you to do something for God and you not doing it. Amen. They each work according to their own ability. I was preaching. You may have heard me tell this story on the radio. I was preaching down in Florence, South Carolina. And I drove about 5 hours down there one morning. And I was preaching years and years ago. And this preacher, he begged me. He said, Danny, please come preach revival. I said, I will. He said, I want you to come on Sunday. I said, man, I just can't hardly do that. I said, I can't hardly leave my church on Sunday. Well, he kept on and on. He pressured me. And he made me believe it was God's will. And everything. I said, all right, I'll come. I said, if you believe it that strong, I'll come. Well, they had a church that reminded me a lot of this building right here, about the same size of them. They averaged about 60 people on Sunday. They had about 60 people, and they had metal chairs just like you've got here, and they averaged about 60. He said, we've worked hard, preacher. He said, we've got people coming. He said, we're going to have someday Sunday. This coming Sunday. And they named it Someday Sunday. And he said, everybody in our church is supposed to bring somebody. He said, you know how you always invite people to come to church? And they said, I'm going to come someday. He said, well, it's this Sunday. That's when you can come. This is Someday Sunday. That's right. And I said, well, that's a pretty good idea. And so they worked. I went in there that morning, people, and I'm telling you, that place was packed, jam full. I had to sit over here. They wouldn't know where to sit. That bill, they had 150 people in there that morning. Them people went to work. I'm telling you, brother, they got the grains. They come over and throw them on the pile. They had 150 people in that little building. I was impressed. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I mean, the Lord's going to do something. Well, I got up there and preached that morning. And we came back on Sunday evening. And I was staying with an old man and his wife out in a double-wide trailer out the street. That's where they put me up to stay. And his name was Troy Brodgen and his wife Lucille. And there was an elderly couple. He is retired, and he's a retired truck driver. And I was staying with them. We come back on Sunday night, and the preacher got up. And he said, now, we had a big day this morning, folks. And he said, I just want to recognize some people who really did good and brought a lot of visitors. He said, matter of fact, I have a few little gifts I'd like to give away. He gave out the New Testament on tape. He had a strong concordance. He had a new Bible. So some nice gifts that he wanted to give people and honor as a reward for bringing people to church. He said, Sister so-and-so, would you come up here? And there's a young lady got up there. She's about 14, 15 years old. He stood up there and he said, and I can't remember exactly, but he said something like seven. He said, I think this girl brought seven people to church this morning. A teenage girl. Seven people she brought with her that morning. And I said, praise God. Hallelujah. He gave her a gift. He said, Sister so-and-so, would you come up here? A lady came up. A middle-aged lady. She stood right here beside that girl. He said, this lady, I think she had 15 people in the service that morning. He said, Sister so-and-so has brought 15 people today in the service. I said, Lord have mercy. I started feeling guilty. I started feeling like a hypocrite. I said, man, how long has it been since I brought 15 people to church? And I started just sort of sliding down in my seat like that. And he said, but, he said, the person who's brought the most visitors is Brother Troy. He said, Brother Troy, would you come up here? I said, surely he's got the wrong Troy. Troy was on, he was on one of these walker things, man, like them square kind, you know, got to hold both hands. He walked like this. He had emphysema. He come up there like this right here. I thought, he brought more visitors than anybody? I said, Lord, I'd give him a prize for just getting himself there. I said, he said, He humbled up there and he said, he had emphysema or something. He couldn't breathe. He'd been an alcoholic for years and years, smoked cigarettes all his life. His body was destroyed. He stood up there like this right here. And the preacher said, Brother Troy brought 40 visitors to church. I said, my soul. I said, I am a hypocrite. Let Troy preach. Really? I said, I ain't got no business up there preaching to him. Man, got up. I said, I sat up on the edge of my seat. I got real interested in Brother Troy real quick. I said, he brought 40 people. How did he get 40 people to come to church? So after we got home that night, right to his trailer, I said, Troy, how did you get all them people to come to church? You know what he done? That old fella got up on Monday morning of that week before that. He got on his telephone. He got him a cup of coffee, sat down beside there, got the phone book out. He got on and he said, Joe, it's Troy. You mean me, don't you, Joe? We used to work together for years, you know, over at Freightliner. I drove him, worked on them trucks for you. He said, Joe, I need you to do me a favor. Will you come to church Sunday, Joe? Come on. Joe, bring your wife and kid. Give me a favor. Will you come, Joe? Yeah, will you? Okay. Now, it starts at 10 o'clock. You promise you'll be there, Joe? Yeah. All right, he hung up. He hung up. George. Hey, George, it's Troy. Well, he stayed on the phone all day Monday. On it all day on Tuesday. Hours and hours. Wednesday and Thursday. He was going after them things, buddy. He was going after them. You don't get every one of them. You know what he done? About the middle part of the week, he called them back. Joe, you going to be there, ain't you? Now, Joe, you remember, you promised me. Joe, you know that. What the Bible say? Going to highways and hedges is what? Compelled. He couldn't even get out and drive around. He couldn't go. Listen, his legs wasn't like mine. He wasn't healthy as you people in here tonight. You ought to bring a whole lot more than Troy did. He can't walk as good as you can. Looky here. Woo! Hallelujah. Troy couldn't do that, but his life depended on it. What's my excuse? Boy, he got on Saturday morning, he went down his list all day. Hey, it's Troy, Joe, John, George, Troy. Bring them all. Bring them. And he called everybody he knew, people he didn't know, and begged them. I mean, boy, and everything. He called them all. And boy, I said, Brother Troy, thank God, brother. That's the way. He said, Brother Danny, I just want to do something for the Lord. He said, I tell you, I got saved. He said, I drunk that old liquor. That's the way he done. He said, I drunk that old liquor all these years. And he said, preacher, he said, the only thing I do now wrong is smoke these old cigarettes. And he said, I can't quit that. I was sitting there thinking, Lord, you can smoke like a freight train for all I care if you bring 40 people to church. You didn't like that, did you? Some of you self-righteous people don't like that. Some of you people say, oh, I would never smoke a cigarette. Yeah, but you'll let your neighbor go to hell and burn like one, won't you? Amen. I'm not endorsing smoking, but I'm just saying I got more respect for a man who smokes a cigarette and gets somebody to God than I have people who don't never do nothing wrong, but don't ever do nothing right. Yeah. Yeah, say amen right there. Hey, amen. I can't hear you. Thank you. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, listen, that old boy got them on there and piled them up, 150 grains of sand. I mean, they each work according to their own ability. Just two or three people cannot build an hill. It piles up because so many people work. Listen, we could go out visiting all day tomorrow, me and him, and if we got five people here, we'd be doing good. You know, the day we're living in. If we got five, I figure we'd be doing great. But you know what? There's enough people in here tonight to bring 30 people here tomorrow night or for the weeks out if we really tried. You see, when a bunch of people get to working, people put their guard up. But sometimes they won't even answer the door when the preacher comes. Y'all got it made, man. There's a wall up between us. They say, Lord, there's the preacher. You know, the little kid comes to the door and said, Mama said, tell you she ain't home. I mean, they'll turn the TV down. I've seen them. You know, I've seen shadows moving around in there and everything. Yeah. The blinds closed and they won't answer the door. But you work with them. You talk to them every day. Listen, brother. Get them, brother. Get them. They each work according to their own ability. I'm telling you tonight, you ought to just make up your mind. Some people's like blisters. They don't show up till the work's done. And then just aggravate you. Can't you come? Can't you think of something you can do? I don't understand how people just go to church, and never do nothing for God. I heard about this story. This is a true story, and don't get mad at me. This Sunday school teacher told this, and it really happened. This is not a joke. I mean, it's funny, but it's not a joke. This Sunday school teacher was talking to her class, and she said, "Now, boys and girls, we need to do something for the Lord. We need to do something for the Lord. Give up something. Start doing something. Get busy for God." And he said, "Now, boys and girls," taught the whole class. Said, "Little boys and girls, does anybody know anything good you can do for the Lord?" One little old bitty boy, about 7 years old, raised his hand and said, "I know." She said, "Little Johnny, what do you know that you can do for the Lord?" He said, "Help Daddy clean up the yard." She said, "That's a good boy. Good boy. That's a good boy, Johnny. Now, does anybody else know something good that you can do?" He raised his hand again. Same little boy. He said, "I know." She said, "Johnny, what else do you know that's good?" He said, "Help Mommy take out the trash." "Oh, that's a good boy. Good boy. That's right, son. Now, anybody else? Can anybody else think of something good that you can do?" He raised his hand again. "I know." She said, "Johnny, what else do you know that's good that you can do?" He said, "Don't eat boogers." She said, "Yeah, that's good, Johnny. That's a good boy. We shouldn't do that." I mean, and that's honestly what he said. And I thought, well, hallelujah, at least he was trying to do something. I mean, if y'all can't think of nothing else to do, give up eating boogers tonight. I mean, for heaven's sake, man. I mean, repent of something. I mean, we preach on everything in the world, and some people never come to the altar. They never pray. Repent of something. Lord, help. Quit doing something. Get right with God. Do something. I don't see how a person just sits there all their life. I don't understand how people can just sit there their whole life, never smile, never shout, never cry, never go to the altar. I was some people's pastor for 20 years, Brother Chris, and I never saw him go to the altar one time. I don't understand. In 20 years, you never got under conviction, or you never sinned, or no, you don't never made no changes. Lord, have mercy. You're dead. They just ain't buried you yet. Really? My goodness. They each work according to their own ability. Number two, let me say this about these ants. They work harmoniously. They work together. They don't work against each other. You don't ever see a bunch of ants down there fussing and fighting. They're getting the job done, brother. They're not down there saying, "Well, I don't like you." "Well, I don't like you either. And I don't like them shoes that you're wearing." "Well, I don't agree with the way you're doing this." And just down there fussing. Oh, they're getting the heel built. They each work harmoniously. Can I say this tonight? Tabernacle Baptist Church, how long have you been in existence, Brother Chris? 2.5 years. My, so you have made great strides. You really have. God has blessed this place. Only 2.5 years old. Look at this multi-$1,000 facility. That's right. Amen. Like that fellow said, he said, I'm not a millionaire. I'm a thousandaire. Or I'm a hundredaire. I don't like it. But I will tell you, brother, you couldn't build this. You couldn't build what you've got right here with the land and grade and everything for probably less than $100,000. So God has been good to you. Probably more than that time you finished it. And God's blessed y'all. Only 2.5 years. What a blessing. God has blessed this place. And you know what? There ain't enough beer joints in Denver to bless this church up. There is not enough liquor stores in the state of North Carolina to tear up Tabernacle Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you, if you have problems, and you probably will, if you have problems, where your problems going to be? They're going to be from you people sitting right in here, not working together, biting each back, biting and cutting each other's throat and getting mad at each other and disagreeing. There's where our problems come from. Liquors, we don't ever say, "Bless God, the Congress, and they won't let us pray in school, and abortion." I'm against all that stuff too. But that ain't what's hurting our churches. Brother, what's hurting our churches is us getting in here biting and devouring each other and cutting each other's throat behind each other's back. And people's got these little friends, and they get their little friends over here, and they talk about this group, and this little bunch of friends gets over to their house, and they gossip about this and that. And they'll say, "We had a men's meeting in our church last night, and men, some of the ladies came too, but mostly the men in our church. And I come and I said, 'This is what we're praying about doing, fellas, about buying some property and land and everything.' And I said, 'Does anybody want to say anything?' There's a couple of them said a couple of things. I said, 'Does anybody want to say anything bad?' I said, 'If you don't say anything bad, say it right here, right now, to my face. Don't go out here and go home and say, well, I just don't agree with some of the things that's going on. Da, da, da. Some of you chickens have to go out and talk about what they don't like. They'll, in church, they'll smile at you and act like we're with you, brother. And then as soon as they walk out the door, because they ain't man enough, they don't have enough guts to come to a man's face and talk to him, they want to go out and get people on their side. I mean, you're only 2.5 years old. Y'all still on your honeymoon. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. It's the day's going to come when you're going to have this little person over here, and this one's going to be jealous, and this one's going to be jealous, and they don't like something he says. You can't preach that book and not make people mad. And somebody's going to get mad. Somebody's going to get upset. I was preaching somewhere not long ago. People got up and just walked out. Can you imagine that, as sweet as I am? And brother, I tell you what, brother, there were people upset. I mean, people get mad. People get offended. But I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to make up your mind by the grace of God. By the grace of God, that God has put me in Tabernacle Baptist Church, Denver, North Carolina. He's ordained that man to be my pastor. And by the grace of God, I'm going to stick with the bunch. We're going to work together. We're going to back up the man of God. We're going to see God do something. We're going to work together and get the hill built for the glory of God. Say amen. And if you can't do that, go on down the road quietly. Don't take nobody else with you. And find you a church where you can worship God. I don't understand. I know people have been in the same church 20 years and disagree with everything that goes on. Won't they just go find them one they can agree with? Probably ain't no such thing. That's why they go to a different church every 2 years. Amen. Listen, brother, you're not going to like everything he does. I mean, let's see if I can find something wrong here. I think it would have been a little better if you'd have put some carpet down right here. Instead of these little things sliding around out from under people like this, how are you going to pray? I found the fault already, ain't I? There'll be carpet there tomorrow night. I'm just kidding. See, if you could find something to match this, you know, and put it right here. I'm just kidding, really. I know you've been rushed to get in here, but I mean, you can find something wrong, for heaven's sake. You sure can. You can find something wrong with me. You can say, well, he hurt my feelings. I can find something wrong with you. But listen, brother, we agree on what's necessary. Amen. We agree what's important. We agree on the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Amen. Let's work together, for heaven's sake.
Amen.
Most people don't quit church over something that's important. It's over little nitpicky things. They work harmoniously. They work together. They mind their own business. I found out this. Busy people have no time to be busy bodies. You know who's causing you the problems in churches? People ain't doing nothing. The busiest people in our church, I never have a trouble. Never been having a trouble. Either. Bus workers, Sunday school workers, people that's busy for God, they don't have time to find fault with everything going on in the church. They work harmoniously. You know what they said? The encyclopedia said that them ants, they keep their nest and their hill extremely neat and clean. You don't ever see no trash on an anthill. Haven't you ever wondered that? There's pollen and flowers and junk blowing around everywhere. Them little anthill just pretty as you please. They ain't a speck. And if they'll drag that piece of trash out and throw it out. Ain't that neat? They work to keep their little anthill clean and neat looking. They keep themselves clean. Have you ever seen an ant with muddy feet? Come tracking it? No, you don't. They ain't got. How do they stay so clean? Well, you ain't going to believe it, but the encyclopedia said they lick themselves with their tiny tongues. That's what it said. I seen that, I about shouted. I said, glory to God. God said, go to the ant. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to lick myself with my tiny tongue. I'm supposed to say, shut up, Danny. Straighten up, Danny. You know what our problem is? We're licking each other. We're running our mouth about each other and won't even straighten ourselves out. Keep our tongue off each other, brother, but we might have some cleaner lives our own self.
Amen.
We can sure run our mouth about everybody else's life, can't we? Boy, we're experts on what everybody else ought to be doing.
Amen.
Yuck. That's what's killing churches. I mean, I've been preaching 30 years, man. I know what hurts churches. It's people starting this right here. getting over to the house after church and saying, well, I tell you one thing right now. Ed McAbee, a friend of mine down in Gaffney, South Carolina, he was preaching revival, and boy, he's a hard preacher. And boy, he said there's a deacon's wife in there, and she had on a miniskirt that night. That's what he said. It's been years ago. And he said, she's sitting back there beside her husband. He come down, he said, boy, you ladies ought to dress right. And he said, all of a sudden, she just swelled up like a toad frog. And he said, if looks could kill, she'd kill me right there in that church. And he said, she looked at me like, buddy. Okay. Like Herodias did, man. Old John the Baptist. And I'm telling you what, man, she looked at him like that. He said she punched that husband of hers. And when that thing was over, she grabbed him and said, we're getting out of here, buddy. See, he's one of these little old husbands that just did whatever she said. You know, just a little push-button model. He didn't do nothing until she said it was all right. He's one of them, when you brought something up, he said, give me a while to pray about it. What he really means is, let me ask my wife what she thinks. Oh. Amen. Preach it, preacher. And said, my mom and daddy never have an argument. You know why? Because he keeps his mouth shut and she runs the whole thing. That's right. It ain't supposed to be like that. If a man and woman don't ever argue about nothing, he roosts on the end of the bed at night. He's a henpeck. Just thought I'd throw that in there. I thought you might get a blessing out of that. But anyway, I tell you, brother, they said, that woman grabbed him, she marched him out of there, and she said, I'm not going back. She said, you're not going back. And she said, when this revival's over, we're going to get rid of the pastor for having a man like that come and preach. Son, she called everybody in that church, Brother Chris. She told them awful things. She said, I'm not going back. You're crazy. If you go back, he's mean, he's judgmental, he's awful. Let's get rid of the pastor. And it killed that revival. Killed it. Now, when judgment day comes, the liquor store down the street will have less to answer for than that woman and that deacon's wife of killing that revival. If she'd let that thing go, God might have sent a revival and saved that liquor store, man. Boy, we got to run that mouth when that preacher does something we don't like. And the pastor met brother his way out west somewhere, and they tried a lot of travel expense and everything, and they was going to give him a good love offering. And he sat down with Brother Ed at the end of the meeting, had breakfast with him. He said, preacher, he said, I'm embarrassed. He said, you know what happened, don't you? He said, that sermon you preached the other night, you made that woman mad. And he said, she's got the whole church to it. They're probably going to run me off here next week again. And he said, the deacons met, and they deducted $300 out of your love offering for the sermon you preached the other night. What's that? Yes. Brother Ed said, that's all right. I didn't know I had one worth $300. He said, that's a compliment, man. One sermon worth $300. He said, I'd give $300 to preach that old hussy again. I'm going to tell you something, brother. That's what's killed. They work harmoniously. Them ants work harmoniously. They work harmoniously. They work together. You see, our God, I hear about that preacher, boy, he's a preaching on the tongue. He said the tongue is wicked. The tongue is wicked. We ought to quit gossiping, shut our mouths, keep our mouths off each other. And boy, he said, there's a woman come to the altar crying. She's the biggest gossip in the church. Everybody knew it. She run her mouth all the time. She said, oh, preacher, pray I can get my tongue on the altar. He said, ma'am, we got about 30 feet of it here. Just double it. Let it flop on both ends. I said, hallelujah. I know something like that, don't you? Amen. Well, I heard about that one fella. He said, he's telling his buddy. He said, Lord, did you hear about what happened to our church Sunday? He said, no. What? He said, man, there's robbers. These robbers come in. They had stuff over their head, and they held us up at gunpoint, and they went down there. They stole all the offering. He said they went down the aisle. He said they made all the women take their jewelry off, the rings and earrings and everything, put it in there and stole everything. He said, but they didn't get my wife's. He said, she took hers all off and put them in her mouth. And that fellow said, Lord, my mother would have been there. You could have saved the whole offering. But I will tell you something, brother, that you can't get nothing done like that. They each work according to their own ability. Hey, will you make up your mind to go to work tonight? You can save us 10 minutes off this thing if everybody in here tonight will just get up and interrupt me and hit this altar and say, "Dear God, I'm going to work. I'm going to work. It's not my brother nor my sister." I'm not sitting around saying, "Why ain't our church growing?" Well, listen, they're not just going to come running in here. You honestly think because you stick up the sign that says Tabernacle Baptist, people's going to come running in that door? Who do you think you are? You think you're something special? Really? What have you got to make them want to come in here? Brother, the Bible didn't say stick up a sign and said they'll come in. It said go in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You have got something worth them coming for. But they don't know it. You got to go get them. Let me say thirdly tonight, I'll hurry. They persevere in the face of danger. That's what the encyclopedia said. Them little buggers, they stick together. An ant's vision is poor. I didn't know that. They can't see, hardly. How do they even know where they're going? They said they have very, very limited short. I guess if you're that short, Lord, you can't see grass in front of you. You can't see that. You wouldn't even know where you was at, in the jungle or somewhere. You was out in somebody's yard, but they can't see it. But they have these little antennas on their head, like little detectors, and they're like this all the time. And that's how they know where they're going. Them little, they have a built-in radar system, what the encyclopedia says. And they can detect an intruder. When a crook comes in, someone goes, dit. And they say, "He's a crook, you know. Get away from him. He's here to kill us." They know when danger's at hand because of that built-in radar system. And I read that out about shouting. I said, "Lord in mercy, we've got one of them inside of us. There's something inside you if you're saved. If somebody starts preaching wrong or something goes dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, you turn on the TV, there's some guy on there, he's off base, he's got the wrong spirit, isn't there something in you says cut him off." You know, thank God, brother, we can't see very far. We ain't got much vision, but we got a built-in radar system.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He helps us bear witness to the truth as it preached. You know what they do? They have said, now I have never seen this with my eyes, but the encyclopedia said that ants have been known and seen to ball up when there's danger near, or roll across a mud or a little stream, a little creek. That's hard to believe, but that's what it said. It said they'll take something. When they come across a ditch, and they'll take a stick and lay it across the ditch, and then they'll all walk across it. They stick together. They don't say, "I can live just as right at home. I don't need you people." They stick with that bunch all the time. There's safety if you stick together, and that's what I hope y'all will do. You can't say, "Well, I'm just going to stay at home now. I've got my feelings hurt, and I can read my Bible at home. I don't need the church." Oh, yeah, you do, too. You know what? You'll freeze to death when wintertime comes.
Amen.
When the times get hard, you won't make it. They ball up. That's what we need to do. In this dark, cold hour that we're living in, we ought to just ball up together. And forget our fussing, forget our argument, and just ball up tight. They said, you remember the banana? When it left the bunch, it got skinned. Let that be a lesson to you. Amen, brother. That's right. You know what will happen to you if you quit church? The devil will skin you, buddy. He'll skin you. He'll skin you. Last thing I'll say tonight, and I'm through, and we'll pray. They provide for the future. They store up food in the summertime. And when winter time comes, they've got something to eat. They don't play around all summer and then starve in the winter. Well, guess what, people? Winter is coming. Judgment day is coming. What are we going to have when the roll is called up yonder? One of these days we're going to give an account for this revival. You're going to give an account for that money you gave. You're going to give an account for what you do with this sermon I'm preaching. I'm going to give an account for how I preached tonight.
Amen.
And in the sincerity of my heart, we're all going to give an account. They provide for the future. A man said one time, you know, I used to think about this. I thought, boy, how could I know I'm going to be ready to meet the Lord? And
A man said one time, he said, if you want to be where you ought to be tomorrow, then do what you ought to do today. The way to be where you ought to be tomorrow is do what you ought to do today. If you don't do what you ought to do today, you're not going to be where you ought to be tomorrow. That's one of the smartest things I've ever heard. You know how we want to be in the right place at judgment? Just do what we ought to do today. Let's stand by here for prayer. Tonight, I brought you a little simple message.
I'm not trying to tell you what to do or nothing, friend. Ain't no use in getting mad at me. I'm just the old trailblazer. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bible and turn to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. Couple things right quick. We want to be here every night now. We got some folks coming down to sing. I think Kelsey's coming on Thursday night. And Kelsey Chapman's coming to sing. And then a bunch of singers are coming Friday night. So you don't want to miss the meeting every night this week. And praise the Lord, just do something special for us. Sure is good to have these preachers with us tonight. Our good friend Brother Tommy and all of y'all here tonight, from wherever you're from, different churches. What a blessing it is to be in church. Tonight, I want to bring you a message. I've done a little bit different last night and tonight. Tell you the truth, I usually don't preach what I preached last night in revivals. That's sort of a pastoral message, and the message is like that tonight. But I'm going to try to obey the Lord and try to give you what I feel like that God's laid on my heart. Look at Psalm 122, 122nd Psalm. Everybody looking at it? Amen. I'm going to read it. I was sad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. A couple of people caught something there. I was sad when they said, let's go to church. Let's go to the house of the Lord. I was sad. No, I didn't read it right. Okay. All right, let's do it again. I was mad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. No, that ain't what it said, is it? No. Some teenagers are like that. You get ready, you're going to church. Mama, why do I have to go? I've got homework. You don't care if you got homework when nothing else is going on. You know? Since when did you get such a burden to do homework? Listen, I don't know about you, but